Hi there. Welcome back to lesson three, how not to have a nervous breakdown when you lose a loved one. I did have a nervous breakdown. A nervous breakdown is probably something that you imagine that looks like a straight jacket and someone going into a mental hospital or to a facility where they are, in a padded room. And that's not actually what a nervous breakdown is. A nervous breakdown is when every part of your nerves in your whole entire sensory of being, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, are snapped. And that's exactly what it feels like. And it feels like, obviously, your heart isn't flatlining or you wouldn't be here, but it feels like you have completely flatlined energy. You have flatlined yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And it's almost as if you just go from being extremely angry to being extremely sad. There's no balance in your emotions. You have zero energy. You could care less if the world blew up around you. This may sound a lot like, okay, well, that feels like me when I felt depressed. A nervous breakdown takes depression and kind of compiles it into this position, into this place that you're in, where you begin to behave a little bit more erratically. And when I say that, what I mean is that, depressed people don't, completely snap on people and lose control. And a nervous breakdown is really about losing control. You no longer have control of the things that you share, of the things that you say, of your emotions, of your feelings. It's not like you're just sad all the time. You're angry, you're hurt, you're mad, you're frustrated, and you don't know if you like, cheese anymore, and you don't know if you want to be hugged or if you want to punch someone. You just don't know. My mom was older. To me, I don't think that she was elderly. She was 73 years old, I believe, 72. I'm sorry, Mom, I forget how old she was. She was born in 1944 and she passed in 2015. So I think it's early 70s. I'm not good with math, and I'm certainly not grabbing a calculator, but you can figure it out if you want to. Anyway, the point is that she had COPD and she had been struggling with back problems and things for a while, and the doctor prescribed her with prednisone. I don't know if you have lost anyone to prednisone, but if you know about this drug, it is not a great one. I know that obviously it can help people have a really good quality of life, but my mom was prescribed too much prednisone to begin with. So instead of giving her a low dose of prednisone, she was started on a very high dose of prednisone. And when she first got that prednisone, her back pain went away and she felt like $1 million. She was just like, oh my God. She got on a plane for the first time. She felt empowered. She felt beautiful. She felt in control of her life. And it was right around the time where I was filming the renewal of vows for Mom's a Medium. And you see my mom, she's so beautiful and she feels so good. And she's just got this like light about her. And I remember thinking, I want what she's drinking, because my gosh, it was just like, not even like my mom. And we had that mom for about a year and then it crashed. The prednisone was starting to take its toll on her lungs and on her organs, and things started to change. She had to be on a breathing machine. She got all puffy. Things just got different. And we went out there, my husband and myself, and we renovated her home and tried to help get her settled and to bring in a home care aide. What we discovered during that time is that she was just too much anxiety and too scared to be alone. She was actually moved into a care facility, like an elderly facility, where she seemed to be good and she had friends and they played cards and it was good there. Then she moved from that place to a place in Qualicum Beach where my sister could be closer to her. And we would talk on the phone all the time and she would call me and she sounded good. She, we talked about me coming out to visit her in the spring and everything just seemed good. It felt like, you know, she was healing and she was seeing the doctors and she had realized that she needed to eat gluten-free and she was, you know, reading the books, Louise Hay, and doing the affirmations and just seemed like she was mentally and emotionally in a really good place. I was hosting my daughter's 15th birthday party. And I had asked my assistant Tamara to help me to decorate. And I believe we were doing this 80s themed birthday party and everything was wonderful. It was a great day. It was right around dinner time and the guests were starting to arrive and I got a phone call. And the phone call was from my sister telling me that the nursing home had called an ambulance for mom. And she was on her way to the hospital. And that she didn't have all the details, but she would let me know as soon as she got to the hospital what was going on. And that she thought maybe, it sounded like maybe she was having a stroke. So some time went by and I thought, oh my God, of course I was, you know, terrified. Is my mom going to be okay? And when my sister got to the hospital, the next call was basically my sister with my aunt telling me that my mom was leaving, as in passing. And my entire body went numb, and I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. And my sister said, I'm putting the phone to her ear. She's taking her last breath. You need to say goodbye. And I was losing it. And I remember being on the phone, and I started to cry and I was, you know, trying to get out these words, mom, I love you, mom, I love you. I was just trying to say everything I could to her, but I had this uncontrollable sobbing and there's this part of my brain that kicked in and said, you're scaring her. Like you can't scare her. And I was like, okay, Carmen, get it together, get it together. And I got very calm. And I said, mom, you're going to be okay. I love you. And there was this, just this weird thing where I was like, I knew that she was hearing me and I didn't want to scare her. And I didn't want her to think, oh my God, she can't leave me. And so as I'm telling her, it's going to be okay. Grandma's going to be there. Grandpa's going to be there. You're going to be okay. Because my mom was really scared of dying. She had a lot of anxiety about it. And so when the phone hung up from my sister, I fell onto the floor and I was in shock. I was completely and utterly devastated. I felt ripped off and robbed. It had taken me 45 years for me to finally have a relationship with my mom. Finally. It had taken me so long for her to be proud of me and for me to feel her appreciation of me, for me to feel her pride in me, for me to feel her love in me. I was a hell-raising child. I had panic and anxiety. I was with all the bad boys growing up. I was, you know, doing whatever the hell I wanted, whatever the hell I wanted. I ran away. I dropped out of school. I mean, you name it. She could never figure out why I couldn't just conform and be quote-unquote good. And it was because I was suffering with panic and anxiety. And when we finally figured out that I was actually a medium, she was so relieved and she was so proud and she felt so good that finally she had the answers to why I was such a hot mess. Because I think all those years she blamed herself. I must be a bad parent. I must be bad. She truly owned that and took that on. And so for her to realize, oh my God, she's been hiding this and running from this her whole life, it finally clicked and I finally had my mom. So for me, it was like losing someone I had just found. And the grief overtook me. But what happened after that was I could never get it why clients or friends or people seemed to have no empathy for me. I couldn't understand why I was you know, being pulled and pushed in all these different directions to continue and not being given time to grieve. Why were clients saying things to me like, well, you know what? You lost your mom, but at least you can talk to her. Get over here and give me my reading. Why were friends expecting me to not want to climb into a hole? Why didn't they get it? Why didn't people outside of me know? And they didn't know because they didn't have that love with that woman. Our grief is our own, and it is connected to the level and the depth of love that we feel for the person or animal or thing that has been removed from our life. Recently, we lost a border collie, and it brought up all the same feelings. It triggered all the same kind of grief. It brought up my mom. My mom knew that dog. It brought up, it all washes back over you. And I learned that grief is not something that we go through. It's something that happens and we take it with us for the rest of our lives. It's like a beating drum. And some days it beats so loudly in your head that you can barely think. And some days it beats so quietly that you can barely hear it. And you never know when the drum will get loud. A picture can trigger it, a family member, somebody saying something, you smelling something, anything can trigger it. It's complicated and it's messy, but it's yours. And I had a nervous breakdown because not only was I grieving, but I was shaming myself for grieving. I didn't have really true friends around me, friends that would allow me to go through this process without judgment and making it about themselves. I didn't have a good team of staff around me that would know how to protect me during that time. I didn't have a good system in place in my business so that if something like this happened, I had a plan. I didn't have a plan. I had no plan for life. You have to have a plan for life. If you don't have a plan for life, what do you have? You have to have a plan. Here I sit as I'm doing this lesson, and I'm not having a nervous breakdown as my daughter was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. If this was me 5-6 years ago, oh my God, life would have been over. But I have a plan. I know how to handle complicated and messy. I understand to walk into the storm. That complicated and messy doesn't mean that my whole world has to stop. That complicated and messy means I have to give myself permission for things to be messy, for things to be shitty, for things to be hard. Complicated and messy means that maybe I won't get a 10 star today. Maybe I'll get a 5 star. Complicated and messy takes on a whole new meaning for those that are grieving. But you have to give yourself permission to grieve, because when you don't, you will have a nervous breakdown. If you try and sweep it under the rug, if you think it's no big deal, if you focus on money and career and business, if you ignore it, or if you succumb to it and you allow it to swallow you whole, you will find yourself in the same place that I was. And it took me years to get out of it. Years. I was so physically sick from the grief that I had taken on. And that grief came from guilt. Guilt because I didn't answer the phone when she called me on Sunday. Guilt because I didn't go visit her. Guilt because I believed the clients and my staff when they said there was no time to go see your mom. Well, I believed the clients when they said, you owe it to me to be here first. I believed the bank account. I believed the friendships. I believed everybody else. I didn't believe me, my intuition, and my relationship with her. So how not to have a nervous breakdown when you lose a loved one? Put yourself first. Don't listen to what anyone else says. Give yourself as much time as you need. If you need a year, if you need two, if you need three, if you need five, your grief is personal to you. And if your friends and your staff or your colleagues or your boss, if they can't accept that, fuck them, because they're not worth it. And if you don't have that attitude, and if you can't harness that, then you're lost before you even start. It's not a matter of if you're going to lose a loved one. It's a matter of when you're going to lose a loved one. And if you can know that and cherish every moment, I don't have the answer. I pray on everything that is holy for a miracle and for my daughter to heal. But if she doesn't and I lose her, then I will know with everything in me that I put her before everything. Anything that seemed irrelevant or that it didn't matter now stops. She becomes my focus. My family is my focus. That's where my energy goes. That's where my life goes. Complicated and messy doesn't have to be if you can put yourself, the relationships with those you love, and your journey through grief at the forefront and the most immediate threshold of where it needs to be. You matter, especially when you're grieving. I'll talk to you again in the next lesson, lesson 4.